First Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now those two words, care and careth, they're the same word, but they mean something different. You know, in our English vocabulary, we have words that are the same word, but they mean something different. Now right there in that first time, the word care, that means casting all your care. That means all your worries and all your troubles, all your anxieties. If you look that up, if you look that word up in the Greek, which we don't go to the Greek, we've got a King James Bible, we don't need to go to the Greek. But if you look that up, it means all your anxieties and all your worries and all your troubles. If you'll cast all your troubles and worries and anxieties upon him, he cares for you. Because he cares for you.
Amen.
And I want to preach on this for a few minutes this morning. Does Jesus really care? We know the answer to that. That's not a question for you to answer. That's a kind of a rhetorical question. I know that everybody's sitting here this morning probably, if you'd be honest, and Nate, nobody wants to raise their hand to that probably, but everybody's sitting here at one time or another in your Christian life. That thought's run through your mind because you've had them little voices that's come to you before, and you thought, does he even care? Does he even know where I'm at? Does he even know what I'm going through? But I want you to know he does care.
Amen.
That song, I believe, Ronnie sang it a week or so ago. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one else has been so kind and true. No one else could take this sin and darkness from me.
Amen.
Oh, how much he cares for me. I want you to know this morning that Jesus really does care. I know that it's hard to believe that somebody, that the whole entire universe was created by him and for him. Y'all remember I preached on that a few weeks back about all the stars and the planets and all the galaxies was created by him and for him. That somebody that big and somebody that's hard to believe, somebody that magnitude, that's that big and that massive and so great, so big, I can't even say it. That big, and that great, that wonderful, still cares about something as little. The Bible said we are but dust. We're like a dust particle floating. You know, sometimes you look up and you see dust floating through in front of a light. That's how we are. We're like a particle of dust. We're nothing. We are but dust, the Bible said. But he cares for you. That's hard to believe. I admit it. I'm not up here acting like I understand it. I don't. I don't grasp it. I don't fully understand it. But the Bible said, lean not to the, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't grasp it. I don't fully understand it. And my finite human mind, but I do believe it, that he does care this morning. I'm glad he does. I don't know. I don't understand. I can't wrap my mind around that, and neither can you. But brother and sister, this morning, we just got to believe it. We got to grab a hold of it, just hang on to it, and just believe. Thank God this morning that he does care. I'm glad this morning he cares. Hey, brother, the world just don't care. The government says they care, but they don't care. But I'm glad Jesus cares. We saw our president give a couple speeches this week. If there's ever been a human being on this planet that don't give a flying rip, it's that man. That's the most cold-hearted human being I've ever seen. Brothers, stand up there with no emotion and no feeling and those cold eyes. I told Debbie, I said, my God, if I didn't know that, I'd think he was the Antichrist. How he can read off those speeches about them people dying and being dead and getting blown up and just talk about it with no feeling whatsoever. I said, my God, he's like a robot. He has no feeling whatsoever. Not a tear. tear in his eye, not a brokenness in his voice, no feeling whatsoever, like he could care less. Just rattle it off, just read off what's on a piece of paper with no feeling whatsoever. And people lay him dead around him like he could care less. Like, oh, so-and-so got killed, so-and-so died, they got blown up. Them people out there is laying dead, so-and-so's dead. We'll give them our resources, we'll help you find out who did it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go golf, I'm going on vacation. That's the feeling you get when you hear him give a speech. I can't stand that. I'd rather have a president get up there and wipe some tears. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. And say, my God, they're killing us, they're bombing us. Let's go get in a tank and go blow somebody up, for God's sake. With a flag flowing behind them, wouldn't you? A man with some feeling, brothers, a man with some emotion, a man that you feel like he's got some red blood flowing in his veins. I expect to start seeing some horns start growing up from out of his head when I'm watching him. I don't see how a country can be so blessed, deceived, and so blind to look at that man and be so excited about having somebody as our leader. You say you ain't supposed to preach politics. Hey, this is my pulpit. I'm the pastor here, and I have freedom of speech. I can say anything I want to. If you don't like it, you don't have to come to church here. Amen. That ain't even my message. I think he's full of the devil, brother. Amen. You're welcome. That didn't cost you nothing. But anyway, I'm glad Jesus cares. The world may not care, but thank God we have a Savior that cares. I'm going to say, number one, He cares about your soul. Brother and sister, I want you to know something this morning. The greatest trouble and the greatest problem and the greatest problem that you ever had or ever will have, Jesus Christ, the darling Lamb of God, solved that problem 2,000 years ago when He walked up Calvary's hill, carrying that old rugged cross on his back as they'd already flogged him and beat him nearly to death. He did that for one reason. It's simply because He cared for your soul. He cared when you didn't care. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:4, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that He should be holy and without blame before Him in love, that we should be holy. Hey, He cared when you didn't care. Hey, when you was in sin and you didn't know there was a God, He cared. Psalm 103:14 said, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. He cared when you didn't care. When you was out getting drunk, And taking drugs and living like the devil. Not everybody did that. But those of us that did, He cared when you didn't care. He cared when you couldn't care. The Bible said, Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Hey, when you was born in sin, you couldn't even care for your own soul. He cared. Hey, He took care of that problem before you was born. Before you came into this world, before your mom and daddy conceived you in sin, Jesus Christ, He paid the debt that He didn't know, and a debt was paid for you on the cross before you was ever born into this world. He cared when you couldn't care. He cared when you wouldn't care. He gave it all. He gave when there was nothing in return. He forgave us when we didn't deserve it. Brother Jesus Christ, He cared for your soul. He will care when no one else will. Psalm 27:10 said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, brother, He'll care when no one else will. When you're down at the bottom and you've got nowhere to look but up, when you're scraping the bottom, hey, when you're that scum on the bottom, that you're not, I mean, you're below the bottom and you ain't nothing but scum. When you are the scum, you know what I'm saying? Hey, brother, when He has to reach way below the bottom to get you, hey, He'll care when the rest of the world gives up on you. You know, when you're one of them people that the church even gives up on. I was the preacher's boy, and the church even quit praying for me. And I believe my daddy just about gave up on me. My old praying mama wouldn't quit praying. My old praying mama wouldn't quit, Brother Sam. And I dreaded coming home at night. I'd sneak home about three sheets in the wind. Every drunk in here knows what that is. I'd ready to come home, I'd sneak in the house, and my little sister, everybody's got a little sister that they fight with their whole life, but she had your back, and she'd sneak and unlock the door and let me in, and I'd come staggering in, and I'd sneak in there and crawl up in the bed like an old hound dog, like an egg-sucking hound, and I'd sneak in the bed, and Mama wouldn't know nothing about it, and boy, it wouldn't be long out here, Mama praying. I'd think, oh, God, I can't even enjoy a good buzz without Mama praying. And boy, I tell you, she'd sober me up back there praying, oh, God, I mean, that time she'd come in and get down by the bed and start praying while I was in there high, and she'd be praying, oh, God, I ain't going to let the devil take him to hell. Oh, God save him. God save him. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, he cared when nobody else cared. He cared when nobody else will. I remember a story about a man one time went to visit another fella. And they're sitting around talking, this old guy. He looked up on a mantle. Y'all may have heard this story. He said, what's that up on that? He said, what's that in that jar you got up on the fireplace? He said, I'm glad you ask. It's a conversation piece I leave up there just so people will ask. And it was a jar, and it had a piece of paper in it and had water in it. He says, is that some kind of superstition? He said, nope. He said, I used to be lost. And he said, I was just an old drunk, and I ran from God. People would witness to me all the time, and I ran from God and ran from God, and I wouldn't listen. And by then, this other guy's getting under conviction, like, oh, Lord, I wish I hadn't asked. And he said, I was scuba diving down in Florida, off the coast of Florida. And he said, I wouldn't listen, and people just witnessed to me all the time with it. And he said, I was scuba diving, and I was swimming around down there at the bottom at the Florida Keys. And I was swimming around, and I saw this jar, had this paper in it. And I thought, oh boy, it's hidden treasure map. And I got that jar, and I swam, got back up to the top, and I took that jar off, the lid off, and pulled it out, and I opened it up, and it said, did you know that Jesus died for your sins? And boy, he said, it was a gospel tract. And somebody took a tract and stuck it in a jar and put a lid on it and threw it out in the ocean. And that thing had sunk down to the bottom of the ocean. And here I was swimming around looking for treasures and looking for coins and looking for... And boy, I did find a treasure that day. He said, my heart started going kathump, kathump. He said, the Holy Spirit started talking to me down at the bottom of the ocean. I was looking at seahorses and starfish and all those seashells. And he said, I got to thinking, if God loved me enough to go down to the bottom of the ocean to convict me of my sin and let me know Jesus loved me, the least I can do is give my soul to him. And he said, brother, he said, I fell on my knees and I got saved. I gave my heart to him. He said, I realized that Jesus Christ cared for me like nobody else. I'm telling you, brother, he cares when nobody else will. He might have to go to the bottom of the ocean to get you if you don't get saved. He cares for your soul. I want to say, secondly, he cares about your life. He cares about your life. He cares about things that nobody else cares about. The devil would like nothing better than to destroy your life. We just read that. He's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But the Bible said, we have not a high priest in Hebrews 4:15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He cares about everything in your life. I've had people ask me over the years, preacher, is it all right to pray for this? Is it all right to pray for that? I'm going to be honest with you. You might laugh at me, but I pray about everything. If my toenail hurts, I pray about it. Lord, my toenail hurts. Please help it. Hey, if I think I'm crazy, I don't go to the doctor unless I have to. If I pray about it a while, it don't quit hurting, I just go to the doctor. I said, Doc, I prayed about this for a couple weeks, it won't quit hurting. Will you do something? Hey, I ain't kidding, brother. I ain't going to throw money away. I'll pray about it a while first. I ain't going to see this doctor when I can get Jesus to heal it first. Amen, brother. He cares about everything in your life. Hey, if you're concerned about it, he's concerned about it. Hey, it's just like your kids, brother. If your kid's got a boo-boo, you get them up on your lap, and you look at it, and you take care of it. That's the way Jesus is. He cares about everything in your life. He cares about the big things and the little things and all the things in between. Amen. Listen, brother, God's not just concerned about the big decisions in your life and don't care about the little stuff. He cares about your ambitions. your attitudes, your actions, your associations. He cares about your burdens. He cares about your business. He cares about your body. It's His temple. He cares about the changes in your life, the course in your life. He cares about your career, your conflicts. He cares about all that. He cares about your discouragement, your depression. He cares about your decisions. He cares about your employment. He cares about your employers and your employees. He cares about the emptiness you feel and the experiences you go through. He cares about your fears and your failures and your faults and your families, your friends and your foes even. He cares about all that stuff. Your foes, yeah, pray about your enemies. I pray about all that stuff. Lord, that fellow's giving me a hard time. God, please do something with him. Help me to put up with him or to get him out of here. We've prayed people out of churches before many times. People keep causing trouble. God, get rid of them. Help them to get in the altar or get out. Amen. Yeah, you can pray them out of the church. I have heard of people praying God kill somebody. I hadn't done that yet. I've heard preachers pray, Lord, just kill them. I hadn't resorted to that yet, but it hadn't got that bad. I'd pray, Lord, move me. I think before I'd pray that bad. Lord, just help, just let me go somewhere. I don't want to kill nobody. Amen. He's interested and he's concerned and he cares about your goals, your guilt, your heartaches, your hurts. He's concerned and he cares about your insignificance. John the Baptist said, I feel insignificant, Lord, to baptize you. Jesus said, suffer to be so for the kingdom of God. Amen? Oh, yeah. He cares about your inferiorities and your insecurities, all your joys, your key decisions in your life. Your love, your life and liberty, your mistakes and motives, and He cares about your marriage. You better pray about your marriage. Amen. You better pray about before you get married and while you're married, all during the time you're married. Like that one guy was married, the old man, they said this one man had a wife, and it was his third wife. First two had died. And somebody heard him down praying. He said, Lord, you blessed me with a good wife. She's a wonderful woman, and you seem fit to take her. Lord, you blessed me with a second wife. She's a good woman, mother to my children. She's a wonderful woman. You saw fit to take her. Lord, you blessed me with a third wife. She's a good cook and a good woman. She's been good to me. Lord, she's been with me now for 12 years. Lord, anytime you're ready. He cares. Anytime you're ready, Lord. It's number three. I'm ready to move on. Amen. Lord, might take him money. Amen. Pray about your marriage. He cares. He cares about your name. You keep your good name. He cares about your nearness to him, your necessities, your needs, your opportunities and options. He cares about your personal interests, the people in your life. He cares about your property. You believe this? You think it's crazy? Pray about your property, your stuff. When I'm going on vacation 3 or 4 days, I pray about my stuff. Lord, I ain't got much. Please don't let nobody break in and steal it while I'm gone. You ever been broke into and had somebody haul off your junk? You'll pray about it when you're gone. Lord, I ain't got but about a half a truck. Don't let nobody take it. Don't let nobody pull up with one of them little bit of U-Hauls to take my stuff. I ain't got much. Don't let them come get my two dogs. I ain't got but two. If I had a cat, Lord, let them have it. But I ain't got... Hey, y'all can't, Brother Heath, you've been stolen from a few times. You pray about that stuff, don't you? I mean, you do. He cares about that stuff. The Bible talks about a man's property all through the Bible. He talks about Abraham, Moses, all them people's property. God cares about that stuff. He gave it to you. Amen. He cares about it. He cares about your rebellion, your repentance, and your rest, spiritual and physical. He cares about your standing, your spirituality, your tears and treasures and troubles and triumphs and understanding, your victories, your wars, your weakness, your willingness. He cares about your year after year of staying faithful. He cares about your zeal. He cares about everything in your life. He cares. He cares about your best and your worst, your ups and your downs. He cares about your ins and your outs, your blowouts and burnouts and fallouts. He cares about all of it. The Bible said He cares so much when one hair falls out of your head, He knows about it. When you lay your brush down your sink, ladies, and it's got all them hair in it, all them hairs in it, He knows about every one of them. Really? That's something to think about. We was watching some little sparrows fly around the backyard the other day, and them little old things, they ain't this big, but the Bible said there's not one of them falls to the ground that He don't know about it. He feeds every one of them. Now you think if He don't care about them sparrows and make sure they got something to eat, that He don't care about you? That's something to think about, ain't it? He knows about all of your human frailties, your sinful nature, and your unpredictable heart, your uncontented eye. He knows about your dull ear, your hard heart, your mischief feet, your dirty hands, and He still cares. There's nothing in your life that He does not care about. Number three, He cares about your family. He cares about your family. Raise your family in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and He'll honor everything you do. We're living in a day and age in the 21st century where families are prone to fall apart. There's not one family in this church today that's not touched by some kind of dysfunction. Either you or somebody related to you is touched by divorce or some kind of a dysfunction. And you can't, I'm not putting you down over it. Everybody, all of us has been through it. Everybody sitting here, it's touched your family somehow. Everybody. There ain't nobody here that ain't been touched by it. Now, that wasn't like that when I was a little boy growing up. When I was growing up, he was like, he's got a daddy and a stepmama, or he's got a stepbrother, stepsister. But it's not like that now. And I'm not putting you down over it. I mean, it's everywhere now. You can't help it. And I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying we've all been touched by it. That's the 21st century family now. And families are prone to fall apart. If a baby survives its mother, number one, that's the number one danger. 55 million abortions since America made it legal. That's the number one danger, is making it out of your mother's womb. It's just getting here. Number one danger, just getting here. That's the number one danger, just making it in the world. Just getting here. Think about that. Lauren Travis is going to have a baby. If that's like the normal liberal thinking world and didn't want it, they just go somewhere and just have it terminated. Hard to believe people think that way. Secondly, the next danger is abuse from its parents or a family member. Sexual abuse, listen to this, 96% of the kids that are abused are known to their abusers. 50% are acquaintances or friends. 20% are their daddies. 20% of kids get molested by their own daddies. Now just sit there and think about that a minute. I've been preaching hard, but I just want you to let that sink in a minute. 20% of kids get molested, sexually molested by their own daddies. That's hard to believe. 16% were relatives. Only 4% were strangers. We always tell kids, don't speak to strangers, don't speak to strangers, don't speak to strangers. Most of the time, it ain't strangers doing it. Most of the time, it's a brother or a sister or a cousin or somebody that's a Boy Scout leader or some youth pastor or a Boy Scout leader. And you know where the number one place where predators go? Right where you're sitting this morning. You know the number one place when the insurance lady came here 2 years ago and sat here on the front row and talked to me about renewing our church insurance? She said the number one place for predators, where they go, sexual predators, right where you're sitting this morning, the church. Because that's where the most commonly places where they're accepted, and that's the quickest, easiest way they can get to kids. And after a while, they're accepted, everybody likes them, they go to church, they look good and they act good, and it ain't long, they say, well, I like to work with kids. And then church people say, well, gosh, we have trouble getting somebody to take them camping because everybody's so busy, nobody will work with kids. And they just turn them over to them, and next thing you know, they're taking the kids on a camping trip, and the kids' lives are messed up for life. Amen? This does not include the danger of gangs and the influence of drugs and other dangers from friends when they get a little older. Number three, if they survive that, the next danger kids have, I'm just going through this because I'm telling you, Jesus cares about your family. The next danger, if they survive all that, is to survive being lied to by the government for the next 20 years of their life. They go to school, and they're taught they came from monkeys. They're taught they came from monkeys. They're taught that this world and everything got here by a sheer accident, that one day that the sun just exploded out of nothing, and all the planets and stars in the universe got here, and this little amoeba came through space and started wiggling its tail and turned into a fish, and then turned into a frog, and then the frog hopped around through the jungle, climbed up the tree and grew a tail and hopped through the tree, and the monkey fell out and broke his tail off and turned into a professor and got a job at Harvard and started teaching science. And here we are. Man that goes to this church, right here to this church, said 2 weeks ago, his little boy walked in the door at home. He said, "What'd you learn at school today?" He said, "We learned about Martin Luther King." I said, "Really? What'd you learn about him?" He said, "He freed the slaves." Now, how many in here believes that? Not one single soul. Biggest lie anybody ever told. I can tell you plenty about Martin Luther King if you don't know the truth. If anybody wants to know the truth about him. Amen. Lord have mercy. What people's kids are being taught in school is crazy. They're already being taught about same-sex marriages. They're being taught about homosexuality as alternative lifestyle. Listen, the only place your kid's going to get the truth is right where you're sitting this morning. If you go to a church where the preacher's got the brass to tell the truth and don't mind telling it. And somebody's already getting nervous already. Oh, God, what's he going to say next? Amen, brother. I'm telling you, brother, we need a dose of the good old-fashioned truth in America. Same-sex marriage and alternate lifestyle. Listen, if everybody went to that way of believing, we'd go extinct in 50 years. What if we all believed that? What if everybody went homosexual? Wouldn't be none of us left. We'd all die off. All the boys like boys, all the girls like girls. That'd be it. This generation died off. It wouldn't be nobody to reproduce. There you go. People like Elton John and Rosie O'Donnell have their way, and we'd all be dead. Muslim would kill us off. The Muslims would run it, I guess, because they don't believe in it. All right, and then the dangers of the evil generation. We now have more crime and immorality and wickedness than ever before. We hear of gunmen going on rampages, mass murder, people killing their own families. Criminals are slapped on the wrist and released. Animals have more rights than unborn children. Children are not safe in their own home. More education will not make people morally better. More gun laws will not deter crime. More police will not make kids behave in school. The next danger in the family is that fathers will not be the spiritual leaders in the home. Amen. Ephesians 6:4 said, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Parents only get one chance at raising their children. Let me tell you something, daddies. I'm going to preach about fathers in a few weeks on Father's Day, so any of you men that can't take it, that'd be a good day to lay out of church. If you can't take preaching, just don't come. But I'm going to tell you something. You only got one shot at this. Once them little boys and little girls turn into men and women, it's over. Your chance is over. Because it's on you, boys. Hey, you can blame your wife if you want to. And she might be the leader in the family. But guess who's going to be held accountable on the day of judgment? You are. You'll say, well, Lord, she really was the boss. The Lord's going to say, that ain't the way I wrote it down. She might have been the boss in your house, but that ain't the way God recorded it. Amen? She might be the daddy rabbit at your house or the mama rabbit, but that ain't the way God wrote it down. God said for you to be the leader, and God said for you to be the man of the house, and God said for you to lead that family in all manner of practice and worship in the family and for her to guide the home. And if you don't raise them boys and girls right and they turn out wrong, God's going to hold the daddy responsible, not the mama. It ain't going to be mama's fault. Mama will help pay for it. Daddy's going to be held accountable. In this life and in the life to come. Number four, I want to say he cares about your lost loved ones. Never stop praying for those that you love. Never stop praying for that lost brother, that lost sister. There may be somebody sitting here this morning, you have a wife or a husband or somebody like that that's not saved and you just feel like giving up. Preacher, I don't think they're ever going to get saved. Don't ever quit. Who was it back here a while ago said, "I thank the Lord he never gave up on me." Choir sings that song, "He Never Gave Up." I said it a while ago. I know that there's times that I've heard people say this. I got two brothers, and everybody used to say, "I never dreamed it'd be Ronnie to be the one to be a preacher because I was the rebel." Everybody thought it'd be my brother because he's kind of mild-natured and easygoing and just kind of laid back and quiet and just, smiled and was just real easygoing. He never would drink, never partied, never got out and ran around, only really dated one girl in his life, and he married her, and they're still together. Just a good old boy. And matter of fact, I'd get out and get in trouble. He'd go get me. Daddy'd say, you go find your little brother. If you find him. And my brother smacked me around and just throw me in the car and bring me back. He's a lot bigger than me. I didn't give him much lip. Daddy said, if you can find him, if he ain't in jail or laying in a gutter somewhere, you go find him, you bring him home. And I didn't argue with him much. He's about twice my size. Everybody said, he'll be the preacher. So nobody ever even dreamed it'd be me. Here's what I'm saying. A lot of people said, that boy never, he'll wind up dead somewhere. They'll find him in a gutter somewhere bleeding to death. About dead a couple times too. End up in the emergency room 2 or 3 times. He ain't gonna make it. He ain't gonna make it. He'll be dead. He'll be in prison. He'll be dead. He's stupid. He's an idiot. But you know what they didn't, what they wasn't counting on? Is that verse of Scripture. Casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. They wasn't counting on that one Sunday night that I just fell flat on my face and I said, Lord, it's do or die. I can't run no longer. And I cast it all on him. And he saved me. And you know what the irony of it is? Both them brothers of mine, neither one of them's darkened the church door. And both of them, everybody predicted they'd be preachers. Both of them. My oldest brother, everybody said he'd be a preacher. When he's 14 years old, they said, that boy's going to make a preacher. He ain't never went to church. Now figure that one out, brother. You can't figure it out. He cares for you, lost loved ones. But you know what? I ain't give up on him. I ain't give up on him. I still pray for him. Still keep praying for him. Last thing I want to say is this. He cares when you break it and you can't fix it. In other words, when you mess it up, he still cares because he can still fix it. You can't fix what you break. You say, yeah, but preacher, I got myself in this mess. You know what? He knows that. I like using this illustration. I know some of y'all laugh at me when I say it. All them old nursery rhymes don't make no sense. None of them make any sense, but they got a moral behind them. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. He was an egg. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. He fell in a million pieces. I saw a picture of that in a storybook when I was a little kid. Humpty Dumpty was an egg, Brother Kyle, and he fell in a million pieces. And the moral of the story was, all the king's knights and all those royal men come out there and the king's horses, and he was shattered. They couldn't pick him up. But you know what? The king can put him back together. King Jesus can. He specializes in that stuff. Them old black people used to sing that song in the hymn book, God specializes in the impossible. He specializes in hard cases. When you mess it up so bad that they can't nobody do nothing with it, there ain't no drug rehab or no AA or everybody in the world says, I wash my hands of this mess, that's when he can step in and really. Me and Debbie heard a young man last night giving his testimony. This guy didn't look like he was 20 years old. And this boy said he was a porn addict. It was pitiful. He looked like he was 20, didn't he? 20 at the oldest. And he said he was consumed with pornography, internet pornography. And he said he couldn't. He said he was so eat up with it day and night. He said his mind and his heart was just consumed with it. And he said the burden was so heavy on him, he was just, you ought to hear him tell it. It was awful. He said he went to church one night and he got in this meeting. And God got a hold of him. And he said he got his heart right with God and he got saved, long story short. And he said just like a light came on and God cleaned his heart out and cleaned him up. For the first time in his life, he said, I'm clean. He's like a drug addict got clean. He said, I don't want that stuff anymore. My heart's clean. My mind's clean. And I don't desire it anymore. And if you've never been an addict on anything, there's a few people here that's been on stuff, drugs, alcohol, that kind of stuff. You live and you want it and you think about it. You wake up and you think about it in the morning. You think about it all day. And when you go to bed at night, you think about doing it the next day. You can't help it. It's just in your system. And that's the way this boy was. He said, I'm free for the first time. This kid ain't 20 years old. And the devil, that's what the devil will do to you. He'll put you under bondage. But Jesus can fix that. And he really does care. He wants to help you. But here's the key to all this. I've been preaching all morning. Here's the key to it. You've got to cast it all. Casting all your care upon Him. You got to cast it. You know what that casting means? Just like that. Just cast all your care. You can't just take part of it to the altar and say, Lord, I want you to do this and do this, but I'll try to fix that. And you do this. You got to cast all your care upon Him. Let Him have all of it. And leave it on Him and let Him fix it. He'll fix it. But you got to let Him have it all. You can't just let Him fix part of it. It don't work like that. Don't work that way. Cast all your care on it. Casting means to, you know, when you go fishing, you cast, you take that bait and you just go, turn it loose. Let every bit of it go. That's the way it works. Let's stand this morning.